From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, September 16th. I'm Abby Larico. The co-founder and CEO of the company that makes ChatGPT says his formative years in St. Louis had a direct impact on his effort to develop artificial intelligence.
And I was like, wow, I can make these computers do anything. And then while that was going on, I had been reading sci-fi, watching sci-fi, super excited about artificial intelligence.
A conversation with Sam Altman of OpenAI coming up after this news on The Gateway. Illinois' ban on semi-automatic firearms is on trial today at a federal district court in East St. Louis. Mawa Iqbal reports.
Gun rights advocates are arguing that banning guns like the AR-15 violates people's Second Amendment right to defend themselves. Since January of 2023, when the law took effect, advocates have filed a flurry of lawsuits in both state and federal courts. They've tried getting a judge to order a temporary halting of the ban, but have so far been largely unsuccessful. Today will be the first actual trial over whether the law should be permanently overturned because it violates the Constitution. Attorney David Segal is representing the plaintiffs. He says recent landmark decisions from the U.S. Supreme Court upholding gun ownership gives him hope. The trial will last through Friday. I'm Mawa Iqbal.
Missouri Senator Josh Hawley rallied against Amendment 3 at an event this weekend, falsely connecting the ballot question on abortion access to gender-affirming care for young people. Hawley addressed the Cultural Impact Conference, hosted by First Baptist Church in Ozark, days after the Missouri Supreme Court ruled a question on whether the right to an abortion will be added to the state constitution will be on the November ballot. In his speech, he erroneously connected the amendment to health care for transgender youth and practices that are largely restricted in Missouri.
This is about an effort to come into our schools behind your backs without your knowledge to tell our kids that there's something wrong with them and to give them drugs that will sterilize them for life, to push them toward procedures that will fundamentally change their bodies irrevocably for life, and there will be nothing we can do about it.
Supporters of Amendment 3 and Hawley's Senate race opponent, Democrat Lucas Kuntz, have condemned his remarks as false and a distraction. The commander of a VFW post in Franklin County is calling out the state for carrying out a so-called raid on 9/11. The Missouri Independent reports state food inspectors came to the post following a complaint that its bar was selling seltzers that had hemp-derived THC. THC can be found in marijuana sold in dispensaries. The news comes as Governor Mike Parson has been cracking down on hemp products in Missouri. Parson issued an executive order in August to ban hemp edibles because he says the packaging is deceptively aimed towards children. The Department of Health and Senior Services began its enforcement of the ban on September 1st. Mercy, one of the largest health systems in Missouri, warns it will drop Anthem insurance from its network unless the two can agree on how much it reimburses hospitals for care. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports officials from the healthcare system say a deal must be reached by the end of the year.
The contract determines how much the insurer pays for surgeries, checkups, and other services. Anthem officials claim Mercy is asking the company to pay too much. Mercy officials say Anthem's putting too many administrative barriers in its contract, such as requiring providers to obtain insurer approval before some procedures. Mercy's Senior Vice President Dave Thompson says that's preventing the health system from treating patients effectively.
No health insurer should make healthcare harder, and we have just continued to see more and more administrative burden placed on our patients, placed on our caregiver providers.
Anthem officials say the rates Mercy wants are so high they would raise prices for the insurer's customers. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
According to new U.S. Census data, the Hispanic and foreign-born populations in the St. Louis region have jumped over the last year. Business leaders say St. Louis is attracting more Hispanics and Latinos because of its low cost of living and tight-knit family environment. St. Louis Public Radio's Andrea Henderson reports.
Over the past few years, there's been a collective effort to bring more Latinos and Hispanics to the St. Louis region. There are now almost 14,000 more in the area since last year. Suzanne Sierra is the assistant director for the St. Louis Mosaic Project. She helped start the organization's Para Ti campaign. It encourages more Hispanics or Latinas to move in the area instead of living in heavily populated Latin communities. She says many are surprised by the number of cultural organizations in the area.
People stay stay when they find community. And that starts with, where are the people that look and sound like me?
Sierra is optimistic about the population growth, but she says leaders have to work to retain them. I'm Andrea Henderson, St. Louis Public Radio.
Hispanic Heritage Month began Sunday. It goes through October 15th. St. Louis is vying for a $160 million grant that regional leaders and academics hope will turbocharge the local neuroscience sector. St. Louis Public Radio's Eric Schmid reports Neuro 360 would develop a pathway for neuroscience research to become new products, treatments, or technology.
The application, led by Washington University and BioSTL, is for the National Science Foundation's Regional Innovation Engines. It aims to build upon the region's existing prowess in neuroscience research that can form the basis for new applications, companies, or technology that can then spur economic growth. Eric Luthart is chief of WashU's Division of Neurotechnology and one of Neuro 360's principal investigators.
This understanding of the nervous system has kind of broad-scale ability to impact people's lives, and it should translate to that. It should become real and tangible, whether it be a product, a drug, or a change in policy or a new way of teaching children.
Luthart says he can think of dozens of examples of WashU research that are prime for commercialization. I'm Eric Schmid, St. Louis Public Radio.
Sam Altman is the co-founder and CEO of OpenAI, the company behind ChatGPT. He's also a St. Louis native. Altman was back in his hometown Friday, the day after the launch of the newest model of ChatGPT. He started his day at his alma mater, John Burroughs School in Ladue, talking to students and teachers. Later, he sat down to talk with St. Louis on the Air host Elaine Cha.
Was there an interaction with a student or something that they asked you that stood out?
We launched O1, this new model, and it's a huge step forward. It's much, much smarter and better at reasoning than anything we've had before. And one of the students came up to me and said, I stayed up last night playing around with it, and it's too smart. Like, what does this mean? What am I supposed to do with my life now? What am I supposed to focus on? What should I go study in college?
Right.
That stood out.
Mm-hmm. How did it make you feel to hear that kind of question? Like, what did you say?
The first reactions to AI are always interesting. When we launched ChatGPT, the world had a sort of collective freak out for a little while. And then people got over it and said, well, you know, this is just part of life now. And why is it not faster? Why is it not better? Why is it not smarter? And that's something I love about just the human spirit of wanting more and more. But it was interesting to watch through the students' eyes, because I've been watching this technology develop for a couple of years and so excited to share it with the world. But to get to see him grapple with it for the first time and be so excited, that was very fun. Mm-hmm. But what we talked about is how this is just a new tool that people will use to do more than they could before. The human capability will vastly increase when you can use this to accomplish way more than you could without it. But that's really the story of technology and human progress more broadly. We keep building better tools. We keep building more and more. Our ability keeps increasing. And I think he left the conversation sort of reassured and excited.
You grew up here in St. Louis, and you did go to school at Burroughs. But you have lived elsewhere now, Sam, for about 20 years. What are some of your fondest memories about what it was like to grow up here, whether that has to do with school or is outside it?
I love St. Louis. I love growing up here. I'm always very happy to come back. As soon as you said that, the first memory that came to mind was riding my bike around Forest Park.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do that a lot after school, you know, with my dad when I was littler, and then alone and with friends as I got a little bit older. It's funny how much places and sort of physical space stick out in memory, but mm-hmm. I could still, like, with my eyes shut, I think, like, tell you every turn on that bike trail.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing that came to mind, is something I really loved. But there's a lot of stuff, like the, you know, swimming at Shaw Park in the summers. I spent a lot of time in high school at Coffee Cartel. Very happy memories there. Sadly,
oh,
it's
right,
gone now. But
right.
For a long time, every time I came back to St. Louis, I would go get my same mocha frapp drink there, and it was so mm-hmm. good. So a lot of stuff.
Thinking about AI, you had talked about being in the computer lab at John Burroughs. What was happening in that lab and in your mind that was the seed of what ChatGPT is now?
So I was a computer nerd basically as long as I can remember. And I was also like a sci-fi nerd. So when I went to elementary school, I went to Captain in Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
And they had these Apple II GSs. This was a really long time ago, really old computer. But one of the things that I think was so special about growing up at that time and that kind of computer is you could very easily learn to program it. And then I kept being interested in computers, and eventually we got one at home. And I like learned to program a little bit more. And I went to Burroughs, and at Burroughs, I eventually, there was an AP computer science class in that computer lab. And had this amazing teacher, Mrs. Kepchar, who taught us. And there were maybe like 16 of us sitting in there on old Macs. And I just thought it was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, we talked about sort of memory of physical space. I always sat at the same computer in there. And I still remember, like, where it was in the room and kind of, like, the way the chair worked. And in fact, I finally had to change it because of a password compromise. But just as, like, a degree of how much this whole thing imprinted on me, the random password that I was, like, assigned for the Linux system we used in that class, I used as my password until, like, 2 years ago for other stuff, too. So it was like this very formative thing. And I was like, wow, I can make these computers do whatever, do anything. And then while that was going on, I had been, you know, reading sci-fi, watching sci-fi, super excited about artificial intelligence and kind of dreamed that someday somebody was going to do it and it was going to be amazing. And I, of course, would have loved to play some small part in it, but it was sort of this, you know, fantasy off in the distance that someone else was going to do.
Mm-hmm. And then you ended up.
And then here we are.
Yeah. Sam, you were saying that you really love talking about your St. Louis memories. Is there another one that you feel like people should know in order to understand better, you know, who you are and how you've come to do what you do now?
This is not a specific memory, but it's something that I really love. And I think you don't get quite the same in other places. That someone once said that St. Louis is the biggest small town in America. I'm sure other towns claim that too, but I certainly felt that growing up here. You know, you'd like go to Schnucks and you would see a bunch of people you knew, and you'd like be on the streets and you'd see, like, you know, kids of your parents' friends. And there was, there's something really lovely about just sort of like feeling deeply part of a community. And I know it's like a thing that people say, I assume they say this if you live in St. Louis too, but if you're outside of St. Louis, the thing they say is when people ask like where you went to school, they meant where you went to high school. And there's something about this community where people are here for many generations and you know, family members of people, and there's sort of like a real sense of roots in a community that's small enough that you can sort of run into people you know a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I didn't realize how special that was growing up, because I assumed that was just what the world is like. And it's certainly not like that anywhere else that I've been. I think that's just a very cool thing.
So Sam, has that in any way informed how you have approached the development of ChatGPT, which started with the co-founding of OpenAI?
I'm sure it has in all sorts of deep ways that I don't fully appreciate. Someone gave me a shirt that says you can like take the kid out of the Midwest, but you can't take the Midwest out of the kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that more and more as I get older. And I think there's something very different about growing up here than what it would have been like if I had grown up in the Bay Area or New York or something like that. And I'm really grateful for it.
That was St. Louis native and CEO of OpenAI, Sam Altman. He spoke with St. Louis On the Air host Elaine Cha. You can hear their full conversation at stlpr.org. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.